Peter came to and found himself lying face down under the collapsed roof, sleet continuing to fall. It took him a moment to focus on what he was seeing. It was like peering down into one of the lowest chambers of hell. A score or more of malevolent faces stared back at him, features twisted by mutation or cruelty or some combination of the two. Time seemed to slow down for a second as Peter picked out the villains he recognized. Count Nefaria, elegant and silver-haired, and capable of knocking over a tank with just one hand. Armadillo with his orange-plated exterior. Crusher Creel, his shiny bald head and boxer's blunt features frightening, even without the absorbing powers that allowed him to take on the attributes of any substance he touched. Max Dillon, who had gotten his hands on his old green and yellow Electro costume and was grinning like a middle-grade sociopath with his very own kitten.
Spider-Man! Don't be shy! Come play with us!
Someone tore off his mask. A fist slammed into his eye, spangling his vision and scrambling his thoughts. Another blow, this one to his ear, left his head ringing.
Wait! My turn!
When his vision cleared, Peter saw a face, fractured and scarred like a badly put together jigsaw puzzle.
Remember me?
The breath smelled raw, like bloody meat. One of the eyes, popped nearly loose of its socket, regarded Peter with sadistic pleasure.
Did we hook up in Driver's Ed?
Nice comeback! This is mine!
Clint knew that the raft contained 87 of the world's most dangerous criminals. In the dim glow of the emergency lights along the floor, he could see dozens of them gathered in the corridor. But he consoled himself with the knowledge that they couldn't all attack him at once. At the most, four guys can go for you at once, maybe five. Whichever, four or five guys at once, Clint could handle those odds. The beam of Jessica's flashlight picked faces out of the gloom. At first glance, the five villains closest to Clint looked normal enough, although looks could be deceiving. Three of them, however, were clearly metahuman. Carnage, the nasty-looking red and black creature with a slick assortment of tendrils, was one. The baboon-faced mandrill was another. Zebediah Kilgrave, as handsome as a movie star and as purple as a violet, was possibly the most dangerous of all. Luckily, Purple Man still seemed to be under the influence of whatever drug the raft had been using to keep him from controlling everyone's minds. He was wiggling his fingers and laughing softly to himself. Just to be safe, Clint chose his arrow and aimed it at Purple Man. The minute Kilgrave looked up, Clint was going to take him out. There was a flicker of light. The emergency generators must have come on, Clint realized. For a moment, everyone just stood there, like a bunch of kids staring down a rival gang. Violence was in the air, as palpable as the scent of ozone and burnt-out wiring, but everyone seemed to be waiting for some invisible signal.
They sent us girls! Let me have the redhead!
Sorry, Ape Man, but you're not my type.
Oh, sweetheart, that's only because my pheromones haven't hit you yet. I got biological agents in my blood that make me every woman's type.
I don't mind if you play with the food.
Carnage waved one of his scarlet tendrils suggestively.
I just claim dibs when you're done.
Kilgrave crouched down in a corner and sang to his purple fingers.
Lavender's blue, dilly dilly, lavender's green. When I am king, dilly dilly, you'll be my queen.
Hate to disappoint you boys, but this here is actually the high point of your day. You can think back on it when you're back in your cells, betting on which cockroach reaches your toilet first.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Great, Clint thought. That had to be Count Nefaria.
I think your little group is both outnumbered and outclassed.
Clint knew that Nefaria wasn't kidding. He'd been a crime boss until he had funneled his money into scientific experiments. Now, thanks to a series of ionic energy treatments, Nefaria was one of the few individuals on the planet who could go mana a mana with Thor.
Are we? You're nowhere near full strength, and Gerhardt and Leighton here don't have any weapons handy.
Lady, I'm Cutthroat, and that's the Fool Killer.
While in prison, Daniel Leighton had gotten some clumsy blue tattoos of knives at his throat and on his forearms.
We don't need weapons.
We are weapons.
It seemed to Clint that the two had certainly become close in prison. A long-faced man with thick glasses stepped forward.
And God is on our side, you raven-haired trollop.
Clint assumed this was Arthur Blackwood, also known as the Crusader.
Why does he assume that I'm a trollop? Have I done anything particularly trollopy?
Maybe it's your outfit.
Jessica turned to the Crusader, pointing her thumb at Clint.
His outfit's just as tight as mine, and his has no sleeves.
Speak not to me, foul harlot! My faith empowers me, and I will not be tempted by your lascivious flesh!
The unfortunate thing was, Blackwood's faith really did empower him. He held out his right hand and produced a sword out of thin air. As if this were the moment they had all been waiting for, everyone moved at once, some attacking, some running away. Luke Cage plowed a path through the inmates, his powerful fists feinting and jabbing while he rocked quickly from foot to foot, never staying in the same place for more than an instant. Natasha, seeing a chance to use the man's bulletproof body as a shield, followed him, kicking with lethal grace whenever she saw an opening. Luke wouldn't let her get away, Clint reassured himself as he knocked an arrow in his bow. A grinning inmate with an odd melted look to his skin tried to grab Clint's arm. Clint knocked him out with his elbow and continued drawing his bow. He caught a movement out of the corner of his eye. Blackwood was driving Jessica back at sword point.
Have at you, wanton! You think to fill my mind with lustful cravings, but I will prevail!
Guess those prison therapy sessions didn't help much.
Jessica aimed her gun at Blackwood's hand.
Psychiatrists are the tools of... Ow!
The Crusader clutched his shoulder.
Ow! My God! How have I offended thee?
Maybe she didn't like you calling me a trollop. Clint, Nefaria's getting away.
Clint pinned the older man to the wall with the same adamantium-reinforced magnetic arrows he had used on the Black Widow earlier that day. Unlike the Widow, Nefaria broke free of them with infuriating ease.
Excuse me, my friend, but I think I broke your toothpicks.
Nefaria threw the arrowheads back with astonishing force, but Clint dodged to avoid them. He was already reloading when something slammed into him from the side. Mandrill bared his fangs. Clint didn't need to speak baboon to know he'd just been threatened.
Mandrill, get your monkey breath out of my face!
Clint flipped the mutant onto his back, then used his bow to block a powerful roundhouse kick.
Crap!
There was no sign of Nefaria.
Without your bow, you're just a puny little man.
Mandrill yanked the recurve from Clint's hands with inhuman strength. As if smelling weakness, three more inmates crowded in. One had a face like a patchwork corpse, and the other two were just blurs in Clint's peripheral vision.
At least I don't have a big red ass face.
Clint yanked the belt out of his pants loops and whipped it buckle side up in a quick arc. The buckle opened up a cut on Mandrill's cheek, close to his right eye. He dropped Clint's bow and ran. While Clint dealt with the other three goons, he spotted Natasha grappling with Foolkiller and Cutthroat. Foolkiller grabbed her arms, holding her captive. Cutthroat drew back his hand to strike her. Kicking up, Natasha sent her attacker flying before headbutting the man behind her.
She's holding her own!
Luke was pummeling carnage.
That's some girl you got there.
She's not my girl.
In fact, he might have to kill her, Clint thought, as he fired repeatedly.
How about I stripe up your ugly hide?
Carnage's tendrils had taken on the shape of whips, which he lashed across Luke's massive shoulders and back.
Sorry, Cletus. Unbreakable skin.
Then I'm gonna stick my tendril in your ear and squeeze.
Now that is just plain nasty.
Luke smashed Carnage against the wall.
Jess, you need some help?
Nah, I got this one.
Jessica snapped handcuffs on a man with a tattoo of a mermaid on his bicep.
Miss, I'm afraid that's not completely accurate.
Oh, crap! Jess, that's Maury Bench!
There's an arch criminal down here named Maury?
You can, of course, call me Hydro Man.
Clean up in aisle three!
Clint had a chemical neutralizer in one of his tips that could reverse Maury's change, but there was no time left to get the arrow knocked and ready. Maury Bench had become a man-shaped liquid. And then... Clint grabbed for Natasha's belt, just as the powerful rush of water knocked everyone off their feet. Within moments, the corridor was submerged. Clint tried to swim with the fierce current, alert for a way out of this situation. He locked eyes with Natasha for a moment. To his relief, she looked completely focused and calm. Of course she did, he thought. She was the Black Widow. Just as Clint was about to run out of options as well as air, he saw Luke Cage smashing through a door. Clint swam for it, Natasha by his side. A ramp led upward and the water subsided. Clint spent a moment on all fours before he could look up and take in his surroundings properly. They were in another hallway, one with a great big hole in the ceiling. A group of inmates was huddled together, apparently taking turns punching and kicking some unfortunate soul.
Oh God, hope that's not a guard.
Hey, a little help here!
Clint, Jessica, Luke, and Natasha waded in, peeling off bad guys and disabling them in a surprisingly efficient team effort. One of the men held up his hands as Clint was about to strike him.
Hey, stop! I'm a medical doctor. I'm not part of this mob, believe me. If you want, I'll look at your friend's injuries.
Something in his face made Clint hesitate.
Just give me your hands.
Clint handcuffed the guy and turned his attention back to the fight. The tide had turned, and now Clint could see the young man who'd been at the bottom of the pile. This wasn't another inmate. Even though his left eye was swollen shut and his nose was streaming blood, the red and blue web-patterned costume was unmistakable. Luke helped him up.
You lost your mask, kid.
Don't worry. Nobody's gonna recognize me for at least a week. Oh, hell, my head's tingling again. Hey, you, look out!
Clint turned to see a monster bearing down on him. From the waist up, it was a squat, burly man with a head of writhing snakes. From the waist down, it was a gigantic, scuttling spider. Clint selected an arrow and reached for his bow, but it wasn't there.
Damn current.
Just as the man-snake spider thing reared up on its back two arachnid legs, a metal disc came spinning through the air, knocking the monster down. As Clint watched, the shield, with its distinctive red, white, and blue stars and stripes pattern, sailed back up through the hole in the ceiling. Captain America emerged in the next second, his shield strapped over his arm.
I wish I could get my bow to do that.
The captain managed to radiate confidence, even with his uniform burnt and shredded.
Sorry it took me so long to get down here, Spider-Man.
What? Didn't I look like I had it under control?
Spider-Man's face was badly bruised. He wrapped a length of webbing around his left wrist, bandaging it. Barely legible in the unsteady light, a sign over the door reminded guards to secure each section before opening the next.
Clint, look.
Jessica pointed to two dead guards, lying face down in the shallow water.
I was wondering where all the guards were. Guess a lot of them wound up like those guys.
All right.
Steve and Jessica looked at each other.
First thing we need to do is figure out who we've got running around here. I took out maybe a dozen on my way down here, so that leaves about 75, minus however many you folks managed to capture. Okay, so let's assume 75 bad guys are still on the lam.
You really do need to get with the times, Captain.
The speaker, dressed in a white t-shirt and jeans like the male inmates, looked like a vampire. Chalk-white skin, widow's peak, fanged smile, long, dangerous-looking fingernails.
Not all of us are guys, you know.
Behind her, some other female inmates peered over her shoulder.
Now let me see. Which man pig shall I disembowel first?
Mandrill swung into the room. He paused, a look of almost comic astonishment on his face.
Necra!
Jerome!
In the blink of an eye, the two were entwined in an intimate, mouth-devouring embrace.
You know, I really hope they don't plan on having children.
Clint ducked as a massive troll-like female inmate took a swing at his head.
Attraction isn't all about looks.
Jessica faced off against a skinny blonde with red-rimmed eyes as a huge villain named Pound Cakes began stomping the floor, shaking the whole building.
Watch out for that one! That's toxic doxy! Don't let her bleed on you.
You ask me, the women here are worse than the men.
Do you really think so, Cage?
Kilgrave, the purple man, was flanked by six other male inmates as he walked toward Luke. But the real danger was Kilgrave himself, no longer looking drugged and helpless.
I think you're wrong. In fact, I think you're so wrong that I suggest you kill all your friends and then yourself.
Kill all my friends?
Luke's eyes had a strange, faraway look.
Oh, this is just too delicious for words. I think this is even sweeter than when I convinced your wife to kneel down and worship me.
Luke was still facing Clint, as Clint ran through the best strategy for fighting an opponent with superior strength and unbreakable skin. He felt Natasha press something into his hands. His bow. She must have found it on the floor, and she'd given it back to him. Clint knew better than to read too much into this. Hell, they were surrounded, and the bow might not have been her weapon of choice, but still, he felt a twinge of unease. It was hard enough to kill someone at close range, let alone someone who had stood shoulder to shoulder with you in battle. He couldn't think about that now. He had to stay focused. He had to watch Luke's eyes and figure out his first move before he made it.
Kilgrave, your powers.
What about them?
They didn't come back yet. You mother... Don't you ever... talk about my wife or my child, you son of... Gonna be hard to say uncle with no teeth in your mouth.
I thought Luke only ever said, "Sweet Christmas."
Spider-Man tied up the last of the female inmates with his webbing.
His wife's trying to get him to stop cursing. Guess he's going to owe some quarters to the swear jar.
Clint and Captain America pulled Luke off Purple Man.
Easy, Luke.
On the bright side, now we only have 74 to worry about. What the?
Abruptly, Natasha moved, shoving Jessica hard against the wall.
On the ceiling!
She pointed to Carnage's red alien form, slithering back toward them. Clint could see that she was out of bullets. One arrow stuck in Carnage's eye, and the other two went straight through his throat and chest, but didn't appear to faze him. His muscles bunched like a cat's. As Clint fired an exploding arrow at the creature, Jessica tossed her gun aside and threw up her hands, as if she still could fire bioelectric blasts.
Nothing's working! Who knows how to deal with this thing?
That would be me.
Carnage struggled, but the webbing held him fast.
That'll stop him, but not for long.
What is that thing?
Bungie alien symbiote outside. Creamy sociopath filling. Who are you?
She is not one of us.
She's not with them.
She's a prisoner in our custody, but right now she's working with us.
And we need all the help we can get.
Poor little superheroes.
Carnage was scrabbling at the cocoon of webbing that held him, causing odd pockets to bulge out.
Most of us are probably near the surface level by now. You can't win this one.
Hey, anyone seen Baboon Boy and Vampire Girl? Either they went to find a room or they're headed for a night on the town.
You're losing!
What was that? Couldn't make it out.
He's right, though. This is spiraling out of control. We need to get back up to the surface and stop anyone else from escaping.
Good idea.
Jessica tried the door. It led to a corridor lined with more doors.
We're too far underground to get any cell phone reception here, but I think we might get a signal if we could climb back up to B level.
Over here.
Clint yanked hard at a doorknob, but it didn't give.
Something's jamming it.
Hang on a sec.
Luke yanked the door off its hinges, revealing the chair that had been shoved up against it. The fire stairs had been painted gunmetal gray and smelled of dust and cigarette smoke. Clearly, they were only used by guards sneaking an unofficial cigarette break.
Okay, let's go.
They had entered the stairwell at the eighth and bottom level. On the fourth level, they found a dead guard, his brown eyes opened wide in shock, an enormous gaping wound in his chest.
No weapon.
Clint's hands came away, stained with blood.
We've got to keep moving.
Clint wiped his hands on his pants before following the others. Natasha, just ahead of him, looked back.
We haven't seen any other guards besides the two dead ones in this one.
I know. And there's supposed to be 67 SHIELD agents stationed here.
Maybe they're being held as hostages.
Maybe.
This is it.
Captain America was at the landing at the top of the stairs.
Step back while I open the door. We don't know what we're going up against, so brace yourselves.
They found themselves standing directly below the demolished roof. There were at least 80 bodies crammed into the remains of the lobby, all of them jostling and passing around guns and combat vests and laptops looted from the prison.
Yes, we found everyone.
Captain, are you here to deliver a blistering lecture on our moral shortcomings?
No, I'm here to put you down.
How amusing.
Nefaria gave a conjurer's wave of his hand, and then there were 10 Nefarias. The mob attacked. Clint felt a blow to his head, whirled, and aimed a kick at a cloaked figure who dissolved, leaving him off balance and vulnerable to an attack from an orange armor-plated tank of a man. As Clint aimed an arrow at the armadillo, he realized that some of the figures he saw coming at him were actually holographic projections. When he looked out of the corner of his eyes at them, the illusions wavered.
Luke!
But to his shock, Luke turned and slammed his fist into Clint's stomach.
What the?
As Luke lunged for him again, Clint saw that the big man's eyes had turned opaque and milky. In the corner of the room, Clint spotted Purple Man smiling, his face still bloody from Luke's earlier beating. It would seem he'd got his powers back.
Luke!
Captain America caught Cage's fist.
You have to fight whatever's...
Heavy hands grabbed Captain America under the jaw. With a gigantic heave, Crusher Creel tossed Captain America up and out of the gaping hole in the roof.
Captain!
Jessica struggled in Creel's thickly muscled embrace.
What do you have for me, little girl? Is there something worth absorbing?
Jessica sagged.
No, how disappointing. Nothing but a weak girl. Kind of to just break your neck and hang on.
His head came up as if he'd been struck.
Well, what do you know? There is a spot!
Jessica's hand shot out, and she poked two stiffened fingers into Creel's eyes. He hunched over, clutching his face. Jessica kicked him in the back, toppling him. Captain America flipped himself in midair, but it was of no use. There was no way for him to break his fall, nothing for him to grab onto.
Cap!
Spider-Man shot a jet of webbing from his unbroken wrist, but it didn't extend far enough. Just as Captain America began plummeting down, Iron Man grabbed him under the armpits.
Can't leave you kids alone for a minute.
Down below, a dozen inmates had left the brawl and were climbing up out of the roof. A few had already made it onto the landing dock, where the SHIELD agents stood like zombies, their milk-pale eyes glazed over. More victims of Kilgrave's hypnotic power. Iron Man swooped down, releasing Captain America a few feet from the ground.
Maybe we were a bit hasty in breaking up the Avengers?
Iron Man aimed a blast from the palms of his metal gauntlets down at the ground and trapped two of the inmates in a barricade of fire.
We didn't break up. You broke us up.
I may have said the words, but I think we both knew the thrill was gone.
Guys, a little more focus on the here and now.
Clint aimed a vibranium-tipped arrow at Carnage, who had escaped his webbed cocoon and was now gleefully tangling Spider-Man in his barbed tendrils. The arrow passed straight through Carnage, leaving a hole that closed up, even as Clint watched.
You're trying to say you need a little help?
Clint turned just in time to see Luke rounding on Natasha, who'd been using his powerful body as a shield. Natasha flicked her wrist, sending a circular blade whizzing through the air. It passed scant centimeters from Luke's nose, arcing across the room and hitting Purple Man squarely in the forehead. And the violet-skinned telepath fell unconscious. Caught off balance, Natasha began to fall into the path of Iron Man's chest-mounted unibeam. Without thinking, Clint threw himself on top of Natasha and knocked her to the side. Searing heat passed over his back. He was going to have a burn.
You okay?
Sure. Do you always do this at the end of a fight?
He wondered how much he could feel through the vibranium body armor.
What makes you think it's the end?
Your friend over there.
Clint moved his body off Natasha so she could breathe. And there was Iron Man, demolishing their opponents like a futuristic red and gold knight.
Hey guys, want to come back to my house when we're all done?
Captain America nailed Jigsaw with a single blow to his misaligned face.
Only if you don't order pizza again.
All around them, inmates were slowing down, stopping, looking. Clint felt himself grinning and turned back to Natasha. For the first time all evening, she wasn't at his side.
Damn it.
Clint selected the arrow from his quiver and knocked it as he scanned the room. In the midst of all the writhing, fighting bodies, some human and some scaled or winged or furred, Clint went very still. He spotted her walking almost calmly through the chaos of battle, as if she trusted her confidence alone to keep her unharmed. Sighting down the arrow, Clint made an adjustment. Jessica kicked a villain in front of the Black Widow, forcing Natasha to hesitate. As if she felt the weight of Clint's gaze, Natasha turned. For a moment, she looked back at him, just as she had back on the helicarrier. This time, there was no mocking come-hither smile. Instead, she faced him fully, making herself an easier target. Because of her vibranium armor, of course, he would have to go for a headshot. Clint wondered what she would have done if she had known there were no more ingenious Stark Industries arrows left in his quiver. He would have to choose, kill her, or let her escape. Except there was no choice. He was a SHIELD agent, and he had his orders. If at any point he thought Romanova posed any kind of threat, or if she showed any sign of attempting to escape, He was supposed to neutralize her. He even had the widow's permission.
If I'm not going to walk out of here, kill me.
That's why she was waiting for him to make up his mind. She was giving him the choice. He lowered his bow. Natasha did smile then, a smile that seemed as rueful as the thoughts racing through his head. He knew he was going to pay for this. Then she was gone, and someone was jumping on him, and there was no more time for reflection. The next half hour was a blur of activity as Iron Man helped Captain America and the SHIELD agents round up 44 of the inmates. As he was leaving, Clint spotted a circular blade marked with a small black and red symbol wedged into the wall. A Black Widow spider. Clint slipped the blade into an outside pocket in his vest. He figured he might as well keep a souvenir of the brief relationship that had probably just ended his career.
Damn it.
Despite her fatigue, Jessica Drew stood at attention in Commander Hill's office, spine straight, arms at her sides, and feet at a regulation 45-degree angle with the heels together. She could smell the hot, slightly bitter coffee sitting on Hill's desk. It was 5 in the morning, and Jessica was tired and sore, but still pumped up from the long night of fighting. She could have used a cup of coffee too, and a donut, either powdered sugar or sugar glazed. Possibly both.
I know Director Fury thought highly of you, Agent Drew, but Fury's not here right now. And I, for one, am not overly impressed with your performance to date.
Hill didn't say any more about Nick Fury's whereabouts, and Jessica wondered whether the other woman knew as much about the details of his mission as she herself did. Probably not.
I am aware that until fairly recently, you had powers to fall back on. This does not, in my opinion, excuse your part in what amounts to total assignment failure.
No, ma'am.
Jessica replied automatically, even though she thought this grossly unfair. No wonder Hill was so disliked. Unlike Fury, who faced up to unpleasant truths, Hill tended to massage the facts to suit her plans. She was also a poor manager of people. The only reason she could have had to remind Jessica about the loss of her powers was to throw her off balance. But there was no underlying strategy here as far as Jessica could tell. Fury, on the other hand, never did anything without a solid and specific reason.
All of this forces me to reevaluate your role within SHIELD.
The truth was, Jessica was only half listening to the litany of her failings. In the midst of the battle last night, she had felt the first real tingle of her old powers returning. Until that moment, she'd been convinced the operation had been a failure, and that Hydra had either lied to her about having the technology to restore her powers, or been mistaken in their capabilities. But when she had attempted to fire her gun into the alien symbiote and discovered she was out of bullets, the surge of adrenaline must have triggered something. Hydra might be an organization of ruthless international terrorists, but they'd kept their side of the bargain. Jessica just hoped she hadn't slipped up last night when she had aimed her bioelectric blasts at Carnage. In all the confusion, she didn't think anyone had noticed her using her powers, but it was hard to tell with Clint and Luke. They tended to keep to themselves. Still, she didn't think they'd twig to her mistake. Luke had been rattled by the Purple Man, and Clint, well, he'd been too distracted by the Black Widow to notice anything. Jessica wondered what would have happened if she had all her powers back. The injected DNA of a radioactive spider had given Jessica many of the same abilities as Peter Parker. Heightened agility and speed, the ability to stick to walls, and a highly intuitive sense of impending danger. The experimental treatments Jessica's father had given her had also imbued her with abilities Spider-Man did not possess. The ability to shoot bioelectric blasts from her hands, and a natural pheromone-based scent that attracted heterosexual men and repelled heterosexual women. Jessica wasn't entirely sure she wanted that part of her power to return. It was a relief to sit next to a man you liked and not have to remember to keep your defenses tamped down. And how lovely it was to get to know a man and discover whether he was really attracted to her as a person, rather than just compelled by her screwy body chemistry. Of course, the flip side of being normal was discovering that the man you liked only regarded you as a friend. Perhaps that Black Widow person had some interesting pheromones of her own. Jessica, for one, had felt dislike at first sight for the Russian. But then, that might have had something to do with watching her ordinarily imperturbable partner leaving himself wide open to attack.
You and Agent Barton pulled from all active duty assignments. Unlike Barton, you will not be investigated for dereliction of duty. But you will be expected to cooperate in the investigation.
I don't see why you have to investigate Clint, Commander Hill. After all, there's no way he could have anticipated the breakout.
And of course, Maria was the genius who'd put him in charge of the widow. Jessica didn't say.
If that is the case, then that is exactly what the investigation will reveal. Oh, and by the way, since you'll be doing purely support work, you should change out of uniform.
All right. Am I dismissed?
Of course.
Jessica waited. No point in heading for the door. Hill would just call her back at the last minute. Jessica had read about this technique in a World War II novel. Of course you can go home, mademoiselle. Ah, but there is one more thing. First, give us the name of your contact in the Resistance. Hill looked annoyed as she realized that Jessica wasn't falling for the trick.
Oh, well, there is one more thing.
Yes?
You've been reassigned. You're not working with Agent Barton anymore. Dismissed.
Jessica walked back to her old desk to gather her things and saw Clint wearing one of Coulson's old ill-fitting suits. He looked adorably stoic, but Jessica, who knew him well, could tell he would probably have preferred a court-martial to this demotion.
So you get to keep doing active work? Good for you. I'm supposed to go sit next to Coulson to learn spreadsheets.
Jessica looked down at her black jumpsuit.
Oh, this. No, I've been moved to... I just haven't had time to shower and change out of uniform yet.
Aw, hell, Jess, I'm sorry.
Hawkeye.
He looked up, and the look in his eyes killed the joke she was about to make. She held out her hand.
Come on.
Jessica, there's no point trying to talk Commander Hill out of this.
That's not where we're going.
Since he didn't take her hand, she grabbed him by the sleeve and pulled him up.
What's the plan? Jump off the ship in protest?
Like you'd leave your bow behind?
Well, it's not really my bow, as Commander Hill reminded me.
Right. Like they didn't use your input in designing it? Like anyone else could use it.
They emerged onto the deck of the helicarrier. Suddenly, Jessica felt she could breathe again. The air was cool and brisk, and had that indefinable late autumn smell. Behind them, the sun was rising in a blaze of gold and amber and rose, the ruddy colors making the dark spires and towers of Lower Manhattan appear like something out of a fairy tale. Below them, the Statue of Liberty came into sight, first a dark silhouette, and then bathed in early morning sunlight that lightened the oxidized green of her outstretched copper arm.
Emma Lazarus called her the Mother of Exiles.
How do you know that? You didn't even grow up in the U.S., right?
There's a course you take when you become a citizen.
Jessica had been raised in Transia, a tiny East European country, but both her parents had been British nationals. After her father's experiments in accelerating evolution had gone awry, though, she had been raised by Lady Bova, a lovely, compassionate woman.
You probably know more about American history than I do, then.
Oh, there's no probably about it.
Hey there!
A square-jawed blonde man came toward them.
I tell you, this is one view that hasn't changed too much.
He was wearing a black t-shirt and jeans, but carried himself like a military man. It took Jessica a moment to recognize him.
I don't suppose you got in trouble, did you, Captain?
Call me Steve, please. And don't tell me you two caught flack after we put 45 of the raft inmates back in their cells?
We've been turned into suits. Clint's going to be investigated.
I thought I saw your bow in the armory when I locked up my shield. Seems a heck of a shame.
A sudden gust of hot wind made Jessica shield her face. She looked up to see Tony Stark blasting down in his red and gold Iron Man suit, faceplate raised.
I just made a quick run to H&H. Who wants a coffee and who wants a bagel?
There was something a little incongruous about seeing Tony's lean, slightly shopworn face with its shrewd brown eyes and diabolical goatee emerging from the gleaming articulated armor. Up close, there were no outward signs of the man's struggles with alcohol or the heart problems that had inspired him to create the miniature arc reactor he wore in his chest. The reactor kept shrapnel from entering his heart and fueled the Iron Man armor. A pretty nifty trick, especially considering the fact that Tony had invented the gizmo while being held prisoner by terrorists. Jessica took a bagel and a cup of coffee.
What kind of cream cheese is this?
I don't know, maybe scallion. Here, I think this one's plain.
You've already taken a bite out of it.
And you've got some weird slime on your sleeve. Didn't you take a shower yet?
Nope, I probably don't get as sweaty as you do in that suit.
My suit's air-conditioned.
Tony turned to Clint, offering him the bagel bag.
What about you, Katniss?
You want to know if I showered? Smell me.
No breakfast for you, wise ass. Cap?
Thanks.
While Tony's back was turned, Jessica offered Clint her bagel. He shook his head and showed her that he had already acquired one. For a moment, there was silence as everyone chewed and contemplated the sunrise.
So, that was some day we had yesterday.
42 still at large.
Tony pulled off an iron gauntlet so he could eat a bagel.
43, if you include the Black Widow.
I'll add her to my database. I'm still figuring out who was behind it. Probably Nefaria or Electro or one of the other electrical guys.
I thought Electro had gone straight and was working a real job.
Jessica took a big gulp of coffee, burning her tongue.
He could have broken into the raft, but Max Dillon's not smart enough to mastermind an escape from a locked bathroom stall.
So who could have hired him? Nefaria? Someone on the inside?
I'll question the prisoners back at the raft. One of them has to know something.
Jessica, Clint, and Steve exchanged glances.
Or I could do it. Oh, crud, I forgot. I've been put on desk duty.
Her heart was pounding, because she could tell this wasn't just a casual conversation anymore. Steve was putting something together here.
I can't believe the bad guys are getting away and we don't get to play any part in bringing them back in.
Steve looked at her, not saying anything, then looked out at the lightning sky. Jessica pretended to watch the horizon as well, no longer tired, but trying to keep from giving the game away by appearing too eager. Let him make the offer, she thought. Don't push too hard.
You know, we were good back there. We worked together like a team.
Tell that to Commander Hill.
I already did. I also told her that last night reminded me of the early days of the Avengers.
You mean before Scarlet Witch went psycho and decided that reality needed a makeover? No, it was all fine and dandy before everything went to hell.
Last night's job isn't done yet. There's still a lot of dangerous criminals out there.
Like I told you, I'm working on it.
Don't think it's a one-man job. Not even a lot of one-man jobs. This is going to take a team effort, Tony.
Don't tell me you're talking about reassembling the Avengers, huh?
Tony, if you'll just give me a chance to explain...
What about the little fact that I just don't have the money to fund the team anymore, huh? My little misunderstanding with the Latverian ambassador didn't exactly help my cred.
Jessica and Clint exchanged glances. Like everyone else, they had heard about the events leading up to the Avengers breakup on the news. But this was an insider's fight.
Tony, if you'll just shut up long enough for me to get a word in edgewise, you'd understand that I'm not talking about assembling the same team. I'm talking about a new team. The team we were working with last night.
Oh. I'm still not paying for it, though.
No one said you have to pay for it.
Commander Hill is never going to approve this. She doesn't like to cede power to anyone.
Steve smiled, and for a moment, Jessica felt as though she were in an old World War II movie.
Actually, I've already gotten permission from Washington to assemble a task force. We don't need Hill's permission.
So where are we going to have the secret clubhouse? Steve?
Well,
I suppose you want to meet at my place.
That would be swell, Tony.
Are we talking about me having to wear a skin-tight, bright red and yellow suit again?
I think we need to be both public and visible, yes.
Jessica threw the remainder of her bagel back into the bag.
All right then, no more carbs for me.
How about you, Clint? You in?
Let me get this straight. You're inviting me to join a team of superheroes?
That's one way of looking at it.
Why me?
Are you kidding?
I'm good with the bow and I can fight, but you've got people who can fly or lift school buses or fire energy bolts out of their hands. And I'm not being modest when I say I'm not exactly a scientific genius either.
You had some good suggestions for the arrowheads. And wasn't that your idea for the bow to open and close with a flick of a wrist?
Yeah, but I wouldn't have known how the hell to make it.
We can't all be multi-talented. If I only wanted people with my level of intelligence on a team, I'd be pretty limited. I mean, Bruce Banner, maybe. And Reed Richards and that X-Man with all the fur.
We don't all have powers. I don't. Just fighting skills and know-how.
It all depends on the situation. Some of the most brilliant and resourceful resistance fighters I knew were teenage girls who could take apart a Sten gun and hide it quicker than most girls today can put on their makeup.
Yeah, but if you'd had a choice between a regular teenager and one with special laser fingers, I'm guessing you would have chosen the one who could singe off Hitler's mustache without the Sten gun.
I've seen you fight, Hawkeye. Back in the war, I would have put you on my team. I would have known that I could send you out with nothing but the bow and a few arrows, and you'd come back. A platoon of other guys could be armed to the teeth, and I'd never see them again. People talk about superpowers, but some guys, some gals, they have something. It may not be obvious, like being able to blast energy from your fingertips. It may not even have a name, but it's real. You've got that something.
Don't play games with me, Cap.
That girl you were with last night, the redhead, she had it too. Otherwise, how could she get away?
You know how.
Clint, what are you saying?
Jessica stared at him, trying to understand how one admittedly pretty redhead could have undermined his loyalty in just one night. And even though she had no right, Jessica felt betrayed.
She saved your life. I saw it. I'm not blaming you.
That made sense to Jessica. He felt he owed her a debt.
What's your say on this, Stark?
Hey, I don't care if you get killed trying to play with the big boys. Last time around, we had nothing but super-powered folks, and one of them lost her nut. You're not mentally unstable, are you?
No more than anyone.
No big unresolved childhood issues? No, never mind that. I think it probably goes without saying that we all have those. Anyway, it's fine with me.
Guess it beats doing paperwork. Just one thing, though.
Name it.
I'm not wearing some crayon-colored unitard.
The middle-aged butler who opened the door to Tony Stark's penthouse was dressed in the traditional English morning dress of tails, bow tie, vest, and striped trousers. To his credit, the butler didn't blink when he saw that Jessica was wearing a gray sweatsuit and carrying a large brown paper bag.
Jessica Drew, I presume?
You presume correctly.
The others are inside. Just go down the hallway.
As he closed the door behind her, Jessica noticed a floating staircase wrapped around a glass elevator.
This place takes up two floors?
Three.
Jessica made her way down a long hardwood floor hallway with brick walls. A painting of a gold android with a melting clock in her abdomen, probably an original Salvador Dali, hung on one wall alongside a human skull encased in diamonds that had been on display at the Tate Gallery in London until very recently.
Maybe I shouldn't have come straight from the gym.
It was too late to head home to change, though, because now she could see Tony, Peter, Steve, and Luke all seated on leather couches and chairs arranged beside an enormous glass wall that led out onto a wraparound balcony. The men were all dressed for action. Steve was wearing his Captain America suit under jeans and a light leather jacket. Tony had on his Iron Man armor without the helmet, and Peter was in complete Spider-Man costume, including mask. Only Luke Cage wore regular clothes, a black turtleneck, cargo pants, and rugged leather boots. She guessed that Tony didn't walk around in his underwear much. On the other hand, Jessica thought, the billionaire inventor didn't seem like the kind of guy to give a damn about anyone else's opinion. Hell, she'd been so sure this was a sweats and beer kind of meeting. Sometimes it was really hard to fit in with the guys.
Hey, everyone! Sorry I look like this. I came straight from the gym. I brought beer, though. Anyone want some?
Sorry, there's no drinking alcohol tonight. Help yourself to water or soda, though.
Tony pointed to a tray on a side table that looked like a giant stone head.
Oh, sure. What should I do with these?
I'll just take those to the kitchen.
Behind Tony's back, Steve shook his head. Clearly, this was a sensitive subject.
Sorry.
Steve, stop telling the new girl that I'm a lush. Jessica, the reason I'm not serving spirits is because I was hoping to get some field work accomplished tonight.
Before you go volunteering me for the dance committee, remember I haven't signed up yet.
Peter was sitting down on the couch. He was moving a bit stiffly, and Jessica wondered just how badly he'd been beaten the night before. There was a wrist brace on his left hand, attached with Velcro straps.
Aren't you going to take your mask off?
Peter pulled the fabric up so his nose and mouth were uncovered, and took a sip of water.
I like to preserve a sense of mystery.
What do you think they're gonna do? Post your picture on Facebook?
Unlike some people, Ms. Drew, I actually have a secret identity.
Everyone here and at least two dozen Rafties saw you without your mask last night. You do remember that, right?
Peter tugged his mask back down over his chin.
What I remember is telling you it was all right to call yourself Spider-Woman. Now I take it back.
Hang on a minute. I just realized. Spider-Man, Spider-Woman. You guys related or what?
Yes, Luke. He's my brother.
Jessica tugged at Peter's mask.
No, I'm not. And would you mind not doing that?
You're injured, aren't you? That's what you're hiding.
No, really. What's the deal with you two? Boyfriend and girlfriend?
Are you kidding? He's getting married. Or got married, but he's like a brother.
This was not exactly true. Jessica had met Peter back when she was new to New York. Nick Fury had just recruited her, but he wasn't around much, and Jessica was missing her old friends at Hydra. She couldn't really go back, of course, not after learning the organization was responsible for terrorist activities all over the globe. But Hydra had been more than just a job. It had been like a family. Suddenly, she was on her own most of the time, making headlines as Spider-Woman, but eating dinner alone in her apartment while watching the TV news. That had changed when Jessica met Spider-Man on patrol one night and learned they had more in common than just their professional names. Peter had taught her a great deal about how to use her powers, and she found herself crushing on him for a good long time. Part of the appeal had been that back when she had had her full powers, Pete and Nick Fury had been the only two men who were completely immune to her pheromonal charisma. Jessica had viewed Fury as a mentor, but she had always wondered whether Pete would have found her attractive if he hadn't been with Mary Jane. There was no point in thinking about that now, of course, since he and MJ were probably in full honeymoon mode.
Actually, Mary Jane and I just broke up.
Oh.
As she tried to think of something to say, Clint came in from the balcony, dressed for action in a black vest and combat pants, a partial gauntlet on his left arm.
Hey, Jess. That's some view you got, Tony. And some plane you got on the roof. What is it? Some new experimental prototype? It kind of looks like an updated SR-71 Blackbird.
It's nothing like the Blackbird. And that was supposed to be a surprise. How did you get on the roof from here anyhow? You don't fly.
I thought it looked like a Blackbird too.
Hey, Drew.
Jessica grinned in delight as she recognized Jessica Jones, Luke Cage's wife.
Jones, you bad girl, what have you been up to?
Jessica ran up to hug the other woman, and then hesitated, looking down at the size of Jones's pregnant belly.
Is it safe to hug you? It is safe to hug you, isn't it?
It's not catching, if that's what you mean.
You look wonderful.
Oh, please, my face is all puffy. In the movies, pregnant women never get puffy faces. And I don't know how I can be retaining fluid. I go to the bathroom every other minute. You should check out the restrooms here, though. The toilet does everything but serenade you.
It was difficult to reconcile this relaxed, smiling pregnant woman with the edgy, hard-drinking detective Jessica had known just a couple of years earlier.
When are you due?
She's in her 8th month.
Luke put his arm around his wife.
I still think I should be part of the new team. I could be Prego woman.
You are joking, right? Because while I have a great deal of respect for your abilities, I
don't know, Tony. I hear some guys are deathly afraid of pregnant women.
She approached him, and Tony held up his hands.
I'm perfectly fine with pregnant women, as long as they keep themselves covered. By which I mean no magazine nudity until you have your figure back.
Tony Stark?
Want me to beat him up for you, honey?
Hang on. You want me to see your wife naked right now?
Tony, how about we leave the subject of other men's wives and take a look at who's missing from the raft?
Good idea.
Tony did something Jessica couldn't see, and the picture windows went opaque as a holographic wall of faces appeared in the middle of the room. There, in a triple-tiered row, were the mugshots and specs on the 42 raft inmates that were still at large.
Now, I've already unearthed some recovered security camera footage from last night, and we were right about Electro being the proximate cause of the breakout. I've done a check on money transfers. Max Dillon has withdrawn money from a Swiss account and had it wired to a bank in Boston. I ran a facial recognition search, and Dillon's been spotted at a local restaurant. Who's up for a trip to Beantown?
You do know that most of us can't fly. What are you gonna do, carry us all there in a big sack?
I could do that, or we could take the jet that's parked on the roof, if you will follow me.
Tony led them into the glass elevator, which quickly brought them to the very top of the tower. The night was cool and a little windy. All around them, the city lights twinkled. From this height, Manhattan looked like a playground. To anyone with powers, the urge to jump or leap from rooftop to rooftop was almost irresistible.
Maybe you've heard rumors about a new generation of supersonic stealth plane? Meet the reality.
With a showman's timing, Tony pressed a button that caused two walls to fold down, revealing a sleek, futuristic black jet with a needle-sharp nose.
Who's up for a short flight to bring back Electro?
You don't really need all of us to bring in Max, and I think I'd be more used doing some data analysis.
She didn't mention the fact that she didn't want to see herself on the news in gray sweats, featured on What Not to Wear, Superhero Edition.
And I better take my wife home before she has to go to the bathroom again.
Luke pressed the elevator button.
Actually, we're gonna go home and fool around.
Okay, didn't need to know that. So, you game?
Peter lifted his left arm, drawing attention to the wrist brace.
Sorry.
Suit yourself.
Jessica remained on the roof with Peter. They watched together as the jet took off, moving with astonishing speed until the small blinking lights on its wingtips disappeared over the horizon.
Hey, you want to tell me what's really going on? I've never known an injury to keep you on the sidelines before.
I wanted to ask you a favor. I need to get back into the raft to question some of the inmates.
She stared at him for a moment.
Hang on, you can't mean you want me to use my shield influence for something. After all your lectures about the pernicious culture of compartmentalized loyalty?
You gonna help me or not?
Of course I am. I just want to get my licks in.
Peter pulled his mask off so she could see his face.
All joking aside, Jessica, I still don't trust shield, and neither should you.
She put her hand on his cheek.
Ouch. They really worked you over. How was the rest of you?
Painful. Pretty much black and blue from crotch to sternum, but it's better when I'm moving. It's sitting still that makes everything seize up.
He pulled his mask back down so the bruises and scars were hidden behind the expressionless spider face.
Pete, you sure you should be doing this in your condition?
I'm not pregnant.
Very funny.
Jessica looked at the other, smaller skyscrapers. So far below them, they seemed like toy houses. She put her hand on his shoulder and felt him tense.
I'm just saying, be careful.
That's the plan. You gonna make that call for me?
Wait a minute. You're going there now?
Call me competitive. But I wouldn't mind coming up with the goods before Mr. I Have My Own Jet does.
Peter launched himself into the night, falling for a long while, before catching himself on a web.
I just hope you make it to the raft before the pain catches up with you.